Amen. Amen. That's a word I want to lift today from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. Amen. 2 Kings, chapter 6. Starting at the 24th verse, and then we're going to read the first verse of chapter 7. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6, and verse number 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all to all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until the ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor and out of the wine press." And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman saith unto me, Give thy son that we may eat today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat. And I said unto her on the next day, Give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son." And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes as he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Chapter 7, verse number 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Amen. Amen. I want to talk today from the thought, holding on to the promise. Holding on to the promise. Thank you. Whenever we read the word of God, we quickly discover that we serve a God of promise. God is always making promises to take you somewhere you've never been, to experience something you have never experienced before. One of the frustrating things about promise and destiny is that it never arrives on your doorstep free of charge. Promises and destiny normally don't come the way we think they're going to come. Most of the time, it does not look the way we think it's going to look. Sometimes, promise and destiny comes disguised as hardship. Sometimes, destiny comes in moments looking like destruction. Sometimes, destiny comes when it looks like you don't even have a destiny. But it doesn't take long to read the word of God and discover that he is a God of promise and of destiny. We see it once again in an ocular demonstration in the text. The people of Samaria, the people of Israel, in the midst of a great famine. The armies of Samaria, under the leadership of a king by the name of Ben-Hadad, take hold of the land to have it for their own. People have continued in their sinful ways, and as a result of their sinful ways, God raises up a king to bring about a condition to bring them back to God. Do you not know that sometimes God has to use pain in order to get you to turn back to him? Most of us pray a little bit better when we have problems. Most of us serve God a little bit better when we have problems. So sometimes God has to send some pain into our lives to get us to turn back to him. A famine that was so severe that Israel resorted to cannibalism, because whenever the economy gets affected, the first people impacted are children. The Bible says they resorted to killing and eating their own children. Whenever government messes up the economy, the first people affected are your children. In the midst of this famine condition, the man of God speaks a prophetic word of promise about breakthrough. And the famine, God speaks a promise. And the famine, God speaks a promise, because I've discovered that the promises of God can find you in some unlikely places.
I don't know about you, but I'm mighty glad that the promises of God didn't wait until I got in the right place to find me. I'm glad God didn't wait until I got it together before he promised to take me somewhere. God knows how to throw a promise in your direction no matter where you find yourself. And even though it may not look like you have a promise, you are in the right place when you are in a place that looks like it doesn't have a promise in you. Is there anybody here other than me that has a praise because you discovered that you had a promise even when you didn't know you had a promise, but your promise found you when you were in a place that didn't look like a very promising place? How many of y'all can testify that you were in a situation where there was no promise on me, no promise in me, no promise around me, but God didn't wait until I got up out of it. He reached way down in the midst of my mess and spoke promise over me. In spite of my situation, in spite of where I was, he spoke promise over me. Is there anybody that can say that's the reason why I rejoice? Because even when I was in a place that seemed like it had nothing going for it, God still had a promise over my life. That's good news, because that says that your present circumstances is not an indication of your future potential. Your present condition is not an indication of your future condition. I don't care where you are right now. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what your situation is. Let me put it another way. That means the place where you are has no inhibiting the place you can go. Do you know what that means? The place where you are is just the place where you are. When the place where you are is not the place you've been promised, the place where you are is simply just the place where you are. If the place where you are is not what God showed you, this ain't good grammar, but listen, where I'm at is just where I'm at right now, because if that's not what God told me, then I know I won't be there for very long. Is there anybody here know that God showed you that he's got something better than where you are right now? And if you can just be patient and keep the faith, God has something better in store for you. Where you are does not count unless you finish where you are. But if you don't intend to finish where you are, then where you are is just where you are. Is there anybody in here that can say, I'm not where I'm going, so where I am is just where I am? This is not my finishing place. That's just where I am right now. That's why I don't have to define my future by where I am, because where I am is just where I am. That's why I don't get depressed and throw in the towel, because where I am is just where I am. Because listen, God gave me a promise. And how many know that God will keep his promises? I wish I had somebody here today can be a witness that God will keep his promises. And this is not the place of promise. And if this is not the place of promise, somebody needs to get ready to go through tomorrow saying, this is just where I am for now. This is just what I'm going through for now. God has something better in store for me. This is just what I'm dealing with right now. There's a promise over my life that says this place is not my last stop. I'm talking to somebody today that's in a place that has you crying, in a place that has you worried, in a place that has you depressed, in a place that has you discouraged. God says to you today, this is not your final stop. And I'm glad that the world doesn't have the last say-so. God has the last say-so. Dry your tears, get off of your bed, stand on your feet, because where I am is just where I am. Tell your neighbor, where I am is just where I am. Listen, this ain't my last stop. God's got some blessings in store for me. What it means, when I have a promise about tomorrow, where I am is not as valuable as I'm trying to make it. If where I am is not where God promised to take me, that's why I don't let where I am steal my joy. I don't let where I am take my faith. I don't let where I am make me quit and throw in the towel and give up, because I trust in the promise of God. The promise of God is beyond where I am. Listen, I don't speak promise. I speak his promise, not my promise, but his promise. I won't let sickness get the best of me, because I've been promised by his stripes I am healed. If where I am is broke, I won't throw in the towel because he promised to supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And as long as he's rich, I won't be broke. As long as where I am, listen, if I'm betrayed by my friends, I will not seek revenge because he prepared the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. If where I am is crying all night long because of some no good Negro, I ain't buying some extra Kleenex because he promised weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. If where I am is unemployed, I will not give up because, listen, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles, and they'll run and not get weary, walk and not faint. Would you push your neighbor and tell them, I've got too much promise to be acting like where I am is the end of my life. I've got too much promise to be acting like where I am is the end. By this time tomorrow, God is going to flip the script and turn it around. Wish I had somebody that believed that today. Catch me tomorrow. This is the last time you'll see me crying. This is the last time you'll see me depressed. This is the last time you'll see me with my arms folded. This is the last time you'll see me with my head hung down. Because with all that's going on in my life, I should have lost my mind by now. But aren't you glad that God gave you a peace of mind that surpasses all understanding? And you need to understand if where you are, it's not where God meant for you. You're just where you are right now. You need to believe that you are on your way to promise. If you're not where God promised, you've got to encourage yourself by telling yourself that I've come this far by faith. And I've discovered that, listen, sometimes, my brothers and sisters, you've got to praise God for a promise because you don't have anything else. Ain't got no money, ain't got no house, no car, no job, no man, no woman. All you got is a promise. And when you ain't got nothing else, you still got a promise. You're dangerous to the devil because he's taking everything from you. All you have is praise on a promise. You ain't got nothing else he can mess with. Anybody here today praise him on a promise? The old folk used to say it ain't got a pot to and a window. But here you are today, not because of what you have, but because of a promise. Somebody here today know it's going to be all right in the morning. Ain't no need in worrying what the night is going to bring. It'll be all over. Anybody here can praise him for a promise? I dare you to just praise him for the promise. Listen, you may be lonely now, but he promised to never leave you nor forsake you. Took your job, took your money, messed up with your house, but you still got a promise. I'm glad today that I got a promise. Look at the text. Elijah says, about this time tomorrow. He says, about this time tomorrow, things are going to change. Which means if it's about this time tomorrow, I've got to make sure I manage until tomorrow. Are y'all following me? It's going to change, but I've got to manage in the meantime. If the promise is for tomorrow, if I'm not careful, the devil still got time to mess with me. So the key to my maturity is not just shouting over the promise, but managing the meantime until I get to tomorrow. Because a whole lot of folk got promise, but they mess up because they don't manage the meantime. I know I'm preaching in here today. It's an interesting theological concept that talks about being due on the way to something, being due. That word due, we came up with the word pregnancy. So if I've got a promise for tomorrow, that means I'm pregnant with something. Y'all watch me here. Let me help you understand the theological terminology. Tomorrow, theologically, does not mean Monday. Because in the eyesight of God, tomorrow could be 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Are y'all following me? So you can't take tomorrow literally. You've got to take tomorrow theologically and spiritually. It does not mean Monday. It just means in the future, he has set a time because every promise has a set time. And that's why y'all not get jealous when your neighbor gets blessed. Y'all not get jealous when your neighbor gets this or that. All it means is just wasn't your time or that wasn't meant for you. Do I have a witness in here today? that whatever God has for me, it is for me. And in the right time and in the right season, whatever God has for me, it's for me. Every promise has a set time. He's already set the due date for me to give birth to whatever I'm promised and pregnant with. Can I help y'all understand when you know you're pregnant? If you know anything about a pregnant woman, the closer she gets to her due date, the more uncomfortable she gets. I need some women to help me out in here today. One of the reasons she gets uncomfortable is she doesn't fit in the clothes she used to wear anymore. Listen, when you're pregnant, you start to outgrow some stuff. You know you're pregnant because stuff you used to wear, you can't wear no more. Thank you, Sister Delane. People you used to hang with, you can't be bothered with anymore. Is there anybody here today who wondered why I didn't call them anymore? Tell your neighbors, because I'm pregnant. Is there anybody here who can say, I know I'm pregnant because I'm outgrowing some stuff. I'm outgrowing some people. I'm outgrowing some jealousy and some envy and some strife. I'm outgrowing some stuff. Outgrowing language. Outgrowing some dirty thoughts. I'm pregnant. You develop a divine dissatisfaction because you start to develop an expectation of something greater. The expectation of something greater is what's making you uncomfortable where you are, because when you develop expectation, you refuse to settle for just anything. Oh, come on. Come on in here today. Come on in here today, because you know God's got something better for you. That's why some of y'all need to go home and get on the telephone. Tell them I'm not trying to be bougie, not trying to be stuck up. I don't think I'm better than you. I'm too pregnant to let you make me miscarry what God has for me. Can I tell y'all something else? Can I tell y'all something else? You know you're transitioning from pregnancy to birth because your water breaks. I'm talking about water around you. You're pregnant, and the only way you can release it is because God has to break it. So God's got to break something in you in order to get something out of you. And if you've never been broken, there's nothing in you. Is there anybody that can say, I know I'm carrying something and I'm about to give birth because God is breaking me. He's taking me through some stuff. He's making me cry, and I'm ready to give birth to something. Is there anybody here who can say, I got stuff breaking all around me, got stuff breaking all above me, beneath me. I must be ready to give birth. If you've already delivered, you ought to grab a partner and tell them, whisper in my ear, push. 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 Grab your neighbor, tell your neighbor, I need you to be my birth partner. Oh, magnify the Lord with me today. Tell your neighbor, push. Can I get hip hop over there? Push it real good. Push till I see my miracle. Push till I see my breakthrough. Push until I see my breakthrough. Is there anybody in here today that will push until you get your breakthrough? Tomorrow's going to turn around. The family is about to turn around. That place where you had no money, that place where your family was all torn up, that place that made you crazy, God is about to turn it around. And all that way, you can turn it around is you've got to push. Somebody said, well, what are you talking about, push, Reverend? You got to pray until something happens. How many know there's power in prayer? How many know the prayers of the righteous avail it much? Is there anybody here that's ever had to pray? Oh, I've got to close here today. But as I close today, There may be somebody here going through something. Can I encourage you today? Just pray until something happens. Prayer will change things. Prayer will change things. Won't it make your enemy leave you alone? Is there anybody here ever called on the Lord? Won't the Lord come see about you? Won't the Lord open doors for you? If you know he will today, why don't you grab somebody and tell them, push, pray until something happened. I'm so glad today that I've got a promise. I'm standing on the promises of God. Christ my Savior. Ain't he all right? Ain't the Lord all right? Won't he come see about you? Won't he take care of you? Won't he walk with you? Won't he hold your hand? Ain't he all right? Ain't the Lord all right? If you know it all right, don't be ashamed today. Grab your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I've got good news today. The preacher told me that I've got a feeling that everything gonna be all right. Brother Moore, I know you're worried, but I've got a feeling that everything gonna be all right. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Can you say glory? Glory. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Glory. If you can just hold out until tomorrow, everything is going to be all right. Weeping may endure for a night, but in the morning, the sun is going to shine. I don't know how long it's going to be, but I just believe everything is going to be all right. I wish I had a witness in here today. I need some folk that are going through today. Can be a witness that I've got a feeling that everything. Oh, come on. I'm in the wrong house today. Anybody got a feeling? Ain't got no evidence. I just got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I said it's going to be all right. I've just got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. If I can just hold out, if I can manage the meantime, if I can get through the meantime, everything is going to be all right. The doors of the church open today. Maybe you're here by letter, by Christian experience. Maybe you've been going through a famine in your life, a season of lostness. Sometimes you don't know which way is up. You don't know which way is down. I've got good news for you. The word says, on tomorrow, he's going to fix everything. If I can just hold on until tomorrow, everything is going to be all right. You here today, would you come by letter? Christian experience. Come as a candidate for baptism. Would you come?